Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. You know, today's batch of sources is a real grab bag. We've got some pretty contradictory economic forecasts, some interesting takes on politics, and even a little peek into what's going on in AI.
It's kind of wild, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've got economics and tech and politics all kind of swirling around. But if we really dig into it, we'll see how they all tie together.
Exactly. It's like one of those puzzles where the pieces keep changing shape. But that's what we do here, right?
That's right. That's the fun part.
You try to put it all together. So let's start with this economic puzzle. We've got one source that points to inflation roaring back. I thought we were past that.
Yeah, it did seem like things were calming down, but the latest data says otherwise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hedgeye, the financial research firm, they call this re-accelerating inflation. And they tend to be pretty good at spotting trends.
Okay, so what's driving this? Why is inflation making a comeback?
Well, a few things. First, we've got commodity prices going up. Oil, wheat, you name it, it's all getting more expensive.
Right.
Then there's wages. People are getting paid more, which pushes prices up even further. And of course, we can't forget those supply chain issues. Those are still hanging around.
Yeah. Feels like we've been dealing with supply chain problems forever. So with inflation back on the rise, what does that mean for, you know, the average person, for folks just trying to manage their money and make smart decisions about investing?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The truth is, inflation can really hit your wallet. Everything costs more, so your money just doesn't go as far.
Right.
It erodes your savings. And for investors, it can be really hard to earn a decent return.
So what do you do? Do you remember hearing about people turning to gold when times are uncertain?
Oh, yeah. It's a classic move.
Is that still a thing?
It is. We're seeing gold and the U.S. dollar moving in opposite directions right now. As the dollar weakens, gold goes up. Investors want something stable.
Because gold holds its value.
Exactly. It's a safe haven. But our sources suggest there's more to this gold rally than just a weak dollar.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, there's this whole trend of countries moving away from the U.S. dollar. And there are worries about the U.S. debt growing bigger and bigger. Some analysts are even saying that the U.S. government might try to use its gold to counterbalance all that debt.
Wait, use its gold? What does that even mean?
Well, it's called monetizing gold. And basically, the government would be using its gold reserves to back the dollar.
To prop it up.
Yeah. It could have a huge impact on the entire global financial system and obviously on people who invest.
Wow, that's a big deal. Okay, let's switch gears a bit and talk about bonds. One of our sources mentioned that the bond market is signaling a shift, but it's not totally clear what that shift means.
Right, the bond market can be a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
But knowing how to read its signals can really help you make smart investment choices. The source points out that bond yields have settled into a pretty tight range after being all over the place.
Okay, so bond yields have calmed down. What does that tell us?
Well, usually when yields on longer-term bonds are higher than those on shorter-term bonds, it means the economy is growing.
Thanks.
But at the same time, there's this fear of a recession going around, and that usually makes the difference between yields smaller.
Oh, I see. So we have these two opposing forces at play.
Yeah. It's creating a lot of uncertainty.
It sounds like the market is sending us mixed messages.
It kind of is. But the source we were talking about suggests that this uncertainty could actually favor certain assets that are considered pro-growth.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these economic factors all play into each other, but let's talk about something totally different for a minute. AI, robotics, and space stocks. Those seem to be really hot right now.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of money flowing into those sectors, like what Hedgeye calls a quad two situation.
Quad two? What's that?
It's when you have fast growth and high inflation happening at the same time. And Hedgeye thinks we're heading straight into that. Historically, quad two environments have been really good for certain investments, particularly tech stocks.
So is everyone just buying up NVIDIA stock?
Well, NVIDIA is definitely a big player, but it's not just them anymore.
Oh.
We're seeing more and more excitement around robotics and even space stocks. It's like investors are betting on the future.
That sounds pretty exciting, but isn't it risky too?
It definitely is. Things can change quickly in the market. Think back to the dot-com bubble. Lots of hype, but it all came crashing down eventually.
So even with all this AI hype, we should be careful.
Absolutely. Don't get caught up in the frenzy. It's important to understand the risks involved.
Now, let's bring politics back into the mix. As expected, Trump's return is having an impact on the markets.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that's got people's attention is what they're calling Trump trades.
Trump trades. Okay, now I'm curious. What are we talking about here?
Basically, investments that are likely to do well under Trump's policies. Things like steel, Bitcoin, and financial companies.
Right, like those tariffs he was so fond of.
Exactly. The possibility of new tariffs could be really good for the steel industry.
But what about things like Bitcoin? How do those fit in?
Well, there's some talk that the U.S. government might start adding Bitcoin to its balance sheet.
Wow, that would be a huge change.
It would.
But are there risks with these Trump trades? Aren't there always two sides to every coin?
For sure. For example, tariffs might help steel companies, but they could hurt businesses that rely on imported goods.
Like car manufacturers.
Exactly. It's all interconnected, and it's important to understand those connections.
Well, speaking of interconnectedness, our sources have some pretty interesting insights into Trump's first cabinet meeting of this new term.
Unconventional doesn't even begin to describe it. The most surprising thing was how much Elon Musk was there.
Wait, Elon Musk? But he's not in the cabinet.
I know, right? It seems like he was mostly focused on pushing Dogecoin and cutting the federal budget.
Dogecoin.
Yeah. And apparently, the actual cabinet members didn't get much of a say in things.
That's strange. It makes you wonder if things are going to be very different this time around.
It does. It definitely raises questions about how this administration is going to function. And it's leading some people to talk about Dark Maggie.
Dark Maggie? What is that, like a superhero movie or something?
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
But it's a term coined by Jonathan V. Last, a political analyst. It's symbolized by Musk's black Maggie hat, and it basically represents a potential splinter group within the Maggie movement.
So Musk leading his own faction?
Maybe. It's too early to say for sure. But the interesting thing is that Dark Maggie seems to be different from traditional populism.
Oh, how so?
It's less about economic equality for the working class and more about giving power to tech billionaires.
So less about the people and more about the elite.
In a way, yes. And Musk, with all his money and influence, could become a major player in this.
Now, let's talk about a Supreme Court case that could have huge implications for how we think about discrimination in the workplace. Marlon Ames, a straight, white woman, is claiming that she was discriminated against. This could potentially overturn a lot of legal precedent and impact things like diversity and inclusion programs.
This case is really interesting because it boils down to whether using different standards of proof for different groups when claiming discrimination is in itself discriminatory.
Okay, so if the court decides that having different standards is unfair, what could that mean for companies that are actively trying to promote diversity and inclusion?
It could get pretty complicated pretty quickly. It might make it easier for members of majority groups to challenge those programs, and it could reshape how we approach workplace discrimination cases altogether.
It's a case worth watching closely, for sure. But let's end on a slightly more positive note. Our sources point out that some Republican senators are finally starting to push back against Trump. They're especially critical of his stance on the war in Ukraine.
That's right. And Senator Murkowski even criticized Trump's actions on the domestic front, saying that he's violating the law and exceeding his authority as president. It really is amazing how much happens in just one news cycle.
I know, right? It's hard to keep up with it all sometimes.
That's why it's so important to not just passively consume the news, but to really, like, think about it critically.
Totally. And that's kind of what we try to do here, right? Connect the dots and see how everything fits together.
Exactly. We need to look beyond the surface and ask ourselves, like, so what?
So what? As in, how does all this affect our lives, our communities, our investments, right?
Right. For example, let's go back to that Supreme Court case with Marlene Ames. If the court rules in her favor, it could really change things in the workplace, especially for companies that have those DEI programs.
Yeah, it could shift the legal landscape, maybe even make it easier for people in majority groups to challenge those initiatives.
It's complicated, with a lot of nuances, and it's something to think about, especially how it might play out in your own work.
And speaking of complicated, let's go back to that Dark MAGA thing. It's such a weird image, that black MAGA hat, and it feels like there's more to it than meets the eye.
It's more than just an image, for sure. The way Jonathan Last describes it, it could be a real shift in the political landscape with some pretty big consequences down the line.
So what's the difference between dark MAGA and regular populism? What kind of policy changes should we be watching for?
One big difference is the focus on these tech billionaires. Dark MAGA isn't really about economic equality, like traditional populism. It seems more focused on giving even more power to the tech elites.
So instead of power to the people, it's power to the tech giants.
Kind of, yeah. And, you know, Musk, with all his resources and his platform, he could really push that agenda.
Right, and we saw him at that cabinet meeting. Makes you wonder what he's really up to.
Right, was it just a show, or was he setting the stage for something bigger?
Okay, let's bring it back to the economy for a minute. We were talking about those bond yields rising and what that could mean for the market. So what does that mean for investors?
Well, if those yields keep going up, it could be bad news for some assets, especially growth stocks.
Because companies like those need to borrow money to grow, right? Mm-hmm. And when interest rates are high, borrowing gets more expensive.
Exactly. But if yields go down, well, that's good news for bonds and those stocks that are considered more defensive.
So knowing where bond yields are going can help you make better investment decisions.
Definitely. It's all about staying informed and adjusting your strategy as things change.
It feels like we're living in such uncertain times, especially when you look at politics.
It's true. You really have to be willing to question what you think you know and be ready for anything.
Speaking of questioning things, our sources had this analysis of Trump's leadership style, calling it patrimonialism. What exactly does that mean, and why should we be concerned about it?
Patrimonialism basically means the leader sees the government as an extension of themselves. There's no difference between their own interests and the interests of the country.
So it's like they're running the country like their own personal business.
Exactly. Loyalty is the most important thing, even if it means ignoring the law or what's best for the people. It's ripe for corruption.
That sounds pretty bad. Our sources also mentioned some Republican senators who are starting to push back against Trump. Do you think this signals a growing divide within the party?
It's definitely something to keep an eye on. These senators are publicly disagreeing with Trump, especially about the war in Ukraine, and that suggests there might be some cracks in his hold on the party.
Well, it's good to see at least some Republicans willing to stand up to him, even if it's just a small group for now. Hopefully that grows.
But let's move on to another controversial topic. This idea of Trump allowing rich foreigners to basically buy U.S. citizenship. It just seems so wrong, doesn't it?
A lot of people feel that way. Putting citizenship up for sale. It makes you wonder what being American even means anymore. It feels like it undermines the whole idea of earning your citizenship, contributing to society. And it creates a system that's rigged in favor of the wealthy.
Exactly. And it also raises some security concerns. Who are we letting in and what are their true intentions?
It's like we're rolling out the red carpet for anyone with enough money, even if they're not coming here for the right reasons.
Those are important questions that need to be part of the conversation.
Speaking of important conversations, let's talk about technology for a bit.
Yeah.
That AI-generated video Trump shared really highlights the potential dangers of this technology.
It's a scary reminder that AI can be used to spread propaganda and fake news, making it even harder to tell what's real.
And the scariest part is, as AI gets more advanced, it's going to become even harder to tell what's real and what's not.
Exactly. We need to start thinking critically about the information we consume and where it comes from. Develop those media literacy skills.
And we need to hold the people who create and spread this kind of content accountable.
Absolutely. We all have a responsibility to make sure the technology is used ethically.
Speaking of responsibility, that whole situation with the Washington Post and Bezos is a perfect example of how media ownership can impact what people see and hear.
A lot of people see this shift towards personal liberties and free markets as just a way to push a specific ideology.
It makes you wonder if Bezos is using the paper to push his own agenda.
It's a possibility. And it really underscores the importance of having diverse media sources and journalists who aren't afraid to challenge the status quo.
Now, back to the Florida governor's race. It looks like it's going to be quite a contest with Donalds, Gates, and maybe even Casey DeSantis all in the mix.
It's a microcosm of what's happening in the Republican Party as a whole, with all these different factions fighting for control.
Donalds, being the only black candidate, is facing a unique set of challenges and opportunities. It'll be interesting to see how he positions himself.
And with Gates and DeSantis potentially in the race, things could get very interesting.
Let's circle back to this idea of patrimonialism. It's not a word you hear every day, but it seems particularly relevant when we talk about how Trump leads.
It's basically saying that for leaders like Trump, loyalty is everything. It doesn't matter if someone is competent as long as they're loyal. And that can be really damaging to institutions and to the whole idea of a government that serves the people.
Yeah, it erodes trust and makes it harder to hold people accountable.
Exactly. A healthy democracy needs checks and balances, transparency, and a commitment to serving the public good, not just the interests of the person in charge.
Well said. Our sources also mentioned those Republican senators who are starting to speak out against Trump. What do you make of that?
It's a sign that maybe, just maybe, there's some hope for a more reasonable, less divisive political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Those senators are creating space for dissent, which is crucial in any democracy.
Let's hope it catches on. But let's talk about another issue that raises some serious ethical questions. This idea that Trump wants to let wealthy foreigners basically buy their way into U.S. citizenship.
It's a controversial idea, to say the least. It raises questions about what it means to be an American citizen.
Shouldn't citizenship be about more than just money? Shouldn't it be earned through hard work and contributing to society?
Absolutely.
Huh.
And it creates a system where the wealthy have a huge advantage, further widening the gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Plus, you have to think about security risks. Who are we letting in? Are we just making it easier for people with bad intentions to exploit the system?
These are serious concerns that need to be addressed.
Okay, back to technology and the challenges it brings. That AI video Trump posted, it really highlights the potential for AI to be used in harmful ways.
It's scary to think that AI could be used to manipulate and deceive people on such a large scale.
And as AI gets more sophisticated, it's going to be harder and harder to tell what's real and what's fake.
That's why it's more important than ever to be critical thinkers and to develop strong media literacy skills.
And we need to hold the people who create and distribute this content accountable. We can't just let them spread misinformation without consequences.
We all have a role to play in ensuring that technology is used ethically and responsibly.
Speaking of ethical considerations, that whole shakeup at the Washington Post under Bezos is a prime example of how media ownership can shape the narrative.
The Post's shift towards a more libertarian editorial stance has raised concerns about bias and the suppression of dissenting views.
It's a reminder that we need to be critical of all media sources, regardless of who owns them. We need to look for diverse perspectives and be wary of anyone trying to push their own agenda.
And we need to support independent journalism that holds those in power accountable.
Well said. Now, remember how we were talking about those bond yields settling into a tight range? One of our sources suggests that the bond market could be on the verge of a major move, which could have a big impact on your investments.
It's hard to predict the bond market, but our source thinks things are about to get interesting.
So should investors be prepared for a big jump in yields, or could they go down instead?
That's the question everyone wants answered. It's tough to say for sure, but we can look at what's happening in the economy for clues. Remember how we talk about that Quad 2 situation, accelerating growth and high inflation at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, some analysts think that's exactly where we're headed. And historically, Quad 2 environments have been pretty wild for the bond market.
So how should investors position themselves for a potential Quad 2 scenario?
Well, it depends on their individual goals and risk tolerance. But some investors might reduce their exposure to bonds, especially those long-term bonds that are really sensitive to interest rate changes.
Makes sense. And others might look for opportunities in assets that do well during inflation, like commodities or real estate.
Exactly. It's all about understanding your own situation and making informed decisions.
Now let's bring it back to politics one last time. The Florida governor's race is getting more interesting by the day, with Byron Donalds joining the fray and the possibility of big names like Matt Gaetz and even Casey DeSantis throwing their hats into the ring.
It's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. Donalds, being the only black candidate, has a unique opportunity to connect with voters, but he's also facing an uphill battle in a state that's becoming increasingly polarized.
And with the possibility of Gaetz and DeSantis entering the race, we could be in for a wild ride.
For sure. Buckle up.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this case plays out and what it means for companies trying to do the right thing when it comes to diversity.
Yeah, for sure. It could really change the whole conversation around DEI.
Okay, let's jump back into the political arena for a minute. We spent a lot of time talking about Trump, Dark Magye, and all these potential challengers from within the Republican Party. But what about the Democrats? What are they up to in all this?
That's a good question. Our sources seem to suggest the Democrats are, well, they're trying to figure out their own stuff right now, trying to get everyone on the same page and find a strong candidate who can actually take on Trump and his supporters.
So are there any names being thrown around, any potential frontrunners?
It's still pretty early and things are changing all the time. But yeah, there are a few names that keep popping up, each with their own pluses and minuses.
What do you think is going to be the deciding factor in the Democratic primaries?
I think electability is always a big one. You know, Democrats are going to be looking for someone who can appeal to a wide range of voters, including folks who might be tired of Trump but haven't traditionally voted Democrat.
So finding someone who can build a bridge between different groups.
Yeah, exactly. Someone who can create a winning coalition. And of course, policy positions are going to matter too. Democrats want a candidate who shares their values on things like healthcare, climate change, and closing that wealth gap.
It's going to be a fascinating race to watch, for sure. The Democrats are at a real turning point, and the choices they make now could have a big impact on the 2026 election.
Absolutely. The stakes are super high. Okay, let's switch gears back to the economy. We talked earlier about the possibility of a Quad 2 environment, where the economy is growing fast, but we also have high inflation. One of our sources had some interesting ideas for how investors can deal with that kind of situation.
Yeah, what did they suggest?
They basically said that investors should think about adding assets to their portfolios that have traditionally done well during times of high inflation. Things like commodities, real estate, and some specific types of stocks.
So instead of just hoping for the best, investors can actually take control and try to protect their money, maybe even make some profit in the process.
Right. The key is understanding how different types of investments behave under different economic conditions. And as always, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversification is key.
It's easy to get swept up in the hype, but spreading your investments is always a good idea.
Totally agree. Okay, let's talk about something that's been making a lot of headlines, AI. That video Trump posted, the one that was made with AI, it really shows how this technology can be used in ways that are both amazing and kind of creepy.
It's like we're living in a sci-fi movie sometimes. It's cool, but it's also kind of unsettling.
You got that right. There's a lot to be excited about with AI, but also a lot to be cautious about. Think about it. AI could totally change healthcare, transportation, education, entertainment, so many things.
It could change the world as we know it.
Exactly. But there is always the risk that AI will be used for bad things, or that it'll have consequences we didn't anticipate, or that it could even be dangerous.
Right. It's powerful technology.
That's why we need to be talking about AI ethics. We need rules and safeguards in place to make sure AI is used for good and not to hurt people or create more inequality.
It's a huge challenge, but it's one we have to face. The future of AI really depends on the choices we make today.
Absolutely. And speaking of choices, let's circle back to that plan of Trump's to let rich foreigners buy U.S. citizenship. Our sources present argument from both sides, and it's clear this issue is dividing people.
Yeah, it seems like both sides have valid points. The people who support it say it'll bring in more foreign investment and boost the U.S. economy.
And the people who are against it worry that it devalues what it means to be a U.S. citizen, basically saying that citizenship is just a product that can be bought and sold.
Right, like it's a luxury item or something.
Yeah. It comes down to what we value more, a stronger economy or a system where everyone has an equal chance to become a citizen, regardless of their wealth.
It's a tough question.
It is. But these are the kinds of questions we need to be asking ourselves. We have to think about the long-term consequences of these big policy decisions.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything in this deep dive. We talked about inflation, dark mega, AI, and even the possibility of buying your way into U.S. citizenship.
It's been a whirlwind, that's for sure. But hopefully we've given our listeners some food for thought.
I always find these conversations so stimulating. It's amazing how all these things are connected, even if they seem totally separate at first glance.
That's the thing. The world is complex.
Yeah.
And understanding those connections can really change how you see things.
Exactly. So what are you going to take away from this, everyone? What will stick with you? What new connections will you make? Keep those questions in mind as you navigate this crazy world.
And remember, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep diving deep.
Until next time.